Hello, 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 and welcome to Tease Me. This is a podcast about the intersection of golf, business, and life. And occasionally we'll drop some gems on networking and just how that makes your life better. Because knowing more than one person is actually a good thing. Hello, Tease Me listeners. It is now August, and as we wind down the summer, it's time to start thinking about your winter activities. Have you thought about taking some golf lessons at an indoor studio, perhaps? Well, this month we're taking a different approach to our podcast by focusing on two guests instead of one. Why two guests? Because they are the founders of Sire Golf. And what is Sire Golf? It's actually SIAD's sportsmanship, inclusion, respect, and entertainment vision. Siad Reed, you've met him before, he's a chief executive officer. And as a professional in the golf industry for over 25 years, he's immersed in a cultural setting completely unlike his upbringing. Siad discovered firsthand that golf is a connector of people. As a trusted team member at Quaker Ridge Golf Course, Siad's role with the club members and at private events for Fortune 500 companies was recognizable. His ability to interface with high net worth individuals from respected national and international companies elevated him in the golf world. Also joining us on this episode is Tracy Allen, the Chief Inspiration Officer at Sire. He's been a creative solutions specialist for over three decades. Having begun his career in film and television production as an art director in 1983, Tracy Allen brings a creative spin to the corporate experience. Tracy also holds the position of CEO and President of G Post America. In this role, he serves as an ambassador for the emergency messaging platform in the United States and helming several global initiatives to cultivate a relationship with FEMA as a full FEMA partner. Tracy's foothold as a messaging specialist has garnered recognition. He's known for developing investor relations and aiding in a further funding and expansion of successful corporate and creative projects. Tracy was personally impacted by his time in South Africa, which led to several published works documenting the strife in Cape Town during the abolition of apartheid. Since then, he's become dedicated to making the world a better place through accessibility, equality, and inclusion, which informs Tracy's passion for bringing Sire Golf to the urban settings. Let's welcome our guests, plural, Siad Reed and Tracy Allen. Okay, hello, hello, Tease Me listeners. This month we have a new guest. You know, our focus has been entrepreneurs, and we're actually taking a different approach. We actually have two guests. So let me introduce you. We have Siad Reed and we have Tracy Allen of Sire Golf. And what we're excited to talk about today is the vision and this business model that many of you haven't seen yet. So first, I guess the question that people want to hear is, how did the name Sire come into existence?
Well, first of all, thank you, LJ, for having Tracy and myself on your podcast. I've been a fan and been listening to your podcast for a while, so very excited to be a part of this broadcast today. The name Sire Golf came about very simply, just kind of ideating, kind of on a couch watching TV, letting the imagination go. And I simply just put the first two letters of my first name together, along with the first two letters of my last name together.
That sounds pretty simple, but the underlying meaning of this brand, what is that here to represent? And like, what is the focus of the work that you're doing right now?
So the focus of Sire Golf, private, made public, is to bring an urban indoor golf social experience to high density urban areas. Initially to Brooklyn, New York, we want to create a social atmosphere around the game of golf for beginner golfers, non-golfers, novices, and people that are very comfortable with the game of golf by pairing that with a more traditional food and beverage and even a nightlife entertainment platform that people can get excited about. So really what Sire is about, communing around the game of golf, bringing new people to the game of golf, bringing people that are already comfortable with the game of golf under one roof around good food, good entertainment, good music, and most importantly, good people under one roof.
I love it. I love it. You know, we always need a way to have good entertainment and tie it to golf. So I am always a fan of that. But this is actually a deeper story. So you and Tracy met a while ago. And what I see in Tracy's bio and what he shared is that a lot of your equity work started during your trip to South Africa. So tell us more about like that trip and what led you into this space of around investments.
Yeah. So LJ, first of all, thanks for, having me on. I know that, you know, you've been doing this podcast for a while, and I'm super excited to be a part of it. And yeah, so just kind of hearkening back to the beginning time of my existence, you know, I went to school to become a filmmaker, and was fortunate to have an opportunity to go to South Africa very, very early in my career. And I thought I was going to South Africa to photograph animals, quite frankly. But when I arrived in South Africa, I realized that I had landed in Joburg during the abolition of apartheid. And the, you know, the social climate, the political climate was very tense. And it really kind of set me up to have a clearer understanding of like a worldview, right? Just coming from the United States and being able to travel to a place like South Africa early in my career really kind of set off a series of events that led me to this point. Mainly just understanding that there were different cultures, different ways of life, different ways of looking at things, a lot of different types of people, and they were all trying to interact in ways that oftentimes made it hard, right? And so that just really gave me some real deep insight into kind of what the rest of my life was going to look like. And that's how it all began.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you have to tell people your origin story. Like, how did you and Siad, or how did the two of you come together?
So several years ago, I was actually a guest on a podcast for some people that Siad was engineering a podcast for. And Siad and I met on that podcast. We kind of became good friends. Clearly, that podcast had something to do with alcohol and, you know, just kind of hanging out and, you know, drinking and having a good time. And so I was invited back to Siad's podcast, which I know he did for many, many years, The Hangover Takeover. And I showed up at the podcast studio with boxes of alcohol and all kinds of cocktail fixins. And that's really where Siad and I became, you know, friends. We became very fast friends, and with some really great kind of alignments on how we saw the world and what we kind of saw that we could be doing for the world.
Awesome, awesome. And Siad, you spent a lot of time on the golf course. Tell us about some of the stories that kind of led to this moment of coming up with Sire and really thinking through like the iterations, because I think one of the things people don't see is the work that goes into building a business before you actually build it. There are a lot of trials, there are a lot of, you know, starts and then stops and starts and stops. And there are conversations and there are mentors. There's so many things that happen on this journey. So tell us more about like your time on the course and the ideation space that got us to this moment.
Well, really, my background in golf comes from the fact that I work and still currently work at a private golf course in Westchester, New York. And it has really formed my kind of viewpoint on the game of golf. As a child, I did not think I was going to be playing golf. No one in my family plays golf, but I was fortunate enough to come up around the time that Tiger Woods became a phenomenon in 1997. That's how far I go back. And from that, I gravitated towards the game. There was a driving range right up the hill from the course that I worked at. So many of the coworkers that I worked with at the golf course would go there and just, you know, just hit, you know, practice hitting golf balls. And you know, as a golfer yourself, OJ, once you hit that first one, you kind of get hooked. So I've always kind of gravitated towards the game. It just kind of went well with my personality, just kind of naturally, just kind of being a kind of focused, directed kind of, you know, entrepreneurial kind of kind of staying to myself, kind of person who just kind of stayed with my vision. But then fast forward to maybe 2015, I worked in an indoor space in Manhattan, where I quickly saw this new kind of venue, this new kind of lane market kind of opening up with the indoor golf experience, especially in a high density urban area like Manhattan. I saw people coming in after work, having a few drinks, listening to their own music and playing the game of golf. And I quickly saw that there was an opportunity here for people in the city to enjoy the game of golf, and not just in a kind of casual way, but in a very visceral way. People were using their own golf clubs. They're using real golf balls. It wasn't Nintendo Wii, right? It wasn't kind of the gamifying of the game of golf. It was real golf. So I saw a bridge there and quickly just started ideating on the idea of what a social experience was, paired that with just my own just understanding of how nightlife works. Like Tracy said, I worked on a podcast called The Hangover Takeover, you know, almost, you know, 7 or 8 years where we would interview guests, comedians, musicians. I have a soft spot in my heart for live music. We put on live shows downtown. So just understanding what nightlife and what people like to do when they're having fun just started to culminate and create this idea of Sire Golf. But back to your point about just some of the ups and downs, working at this private golf course afforded me the ability to be around highly successful people, high net worth individuals, successful corporations, and just understanding how they moved throughout the world, how they communicated, how they would network with each other, you know, the language that they would use, keywords. I would just really keep an open ear. I wouldn't always say anything, but I would always be listening, always kind of be a fly on the wall to their conversations, and just understanding how that they would move about the world. And from that, I just kind of started to keep my own vision and my own ear open to similar conversations in my own world. So as things started to align, you know, light bulbs would go off in my head and say, oh, this person could be a key partner, or this person could help, or maybe this is something I should stay away from. So really just being open as the world, as I started to move towards my goals and allowing things coming to me, I would decide and differentiate what was something I would keep in my circle and what would be something that would be kind of harmful, honestly, or detrimental to my process. So from that, I would just kind of add and take away. But the big takeaway, unfortunately, for many people was the pandemic, right? So that was the big thing. Even leading up to the pandemic, there was a lot of momentum going into Sire Golf at that time. But because the city and the world was shut down, it had to be put on the shelf. Tracy and I stayed friends. He actually helped me put together a boutique video production company that I built during the pandemic. He himself has a great many experience in film and TV production, so he was able to help me out with that. But then towards the end of last year, you know, a light bulb, just listening to yourself, really listening to your intuition and working on that. Something said to myself, you know, let's maybe reintroduce this idea. Let's take it off the shelf. And I knew it was something I wanted to do, but I knew it was something that I could not do by myself. So asking for help, knowing when you need help is something that's very important. You know what you're good at, but then also find people that are good at skill sets that you're not so good at. So I knew Tracy, I knew his resume, I know his history. He's someone that I trust, that I've known for many years, that has many of the skill sets that I know that I could use help with. So I brought the idea back to him towards the end of last year, and he quickly saw the potential of it. And we kind of hit the ground running ever since probably November of last year.
Wow, so many gems there. I know this season isn't about gems, but I just want to touch on a few things you said. One, being in the room and in spaces where conversations are happening, but being able to listen and being able to absorb information. And then you also mentioned like surrounding yourselves with smart people or people that have skills that you don't have. And I think that we often, you know, see too much in social media that there's this space of a competitive space, when the reality is we're stronger and able to build more together. And then the final thing you mentioned was ideas on the shelf. And I think that like entrepreneurs are notorious for having multiple ideas. And then it's about choosing the right time to choose this item. Not like keeping vintage clothing, but more so like these ideas, there's a right time and a right place for it. And so one of the things I want to kind of segue to is the potential of a good idea. You saw the potential in the idea, and then you brought on Tracy. Tracy, your company, G-Post, you talk about different business ideas and invest. Tell us more about G-Post and the process of evaluating a potentially good idea.
Yeah, so just kind of to ladder up with what Siad said, to kind of circle back to the G-Post thing, I think one thing that Siad has that is very innate and very intuitive is the ability to know when something is ready to kind of bake, right? Because he spent a lot of time in and around people who move through the world with that, I think that he has just really kind of built a great skill in being able to know when that is. for me personally, you know, I took on the role of president and CEO of G-Post. It's a multinational tech company. It's an emergency messaging company, you know, at its heart. But funny enough, during the, during the pandemic, we were struggling to get in, you know, contact with some of our key types of customers, right? Or mostly NGOs, non-governmental and governmental entities and quasi-governmental entities. And so we realized that we had to find a way to pivot and keep relevant in the discussion with some of the organizations and the industries that we were kind of involved in. And one thing that happened was one of my advisory board members, Paul Sambanis, he's a professor of emergency management at University of Illinois, came to us and said, hey, what about maybe bringing this to postal services? Mainly because our platform is really designed to allow people to communicate and access each other in a very private way, but based on a geographical location, right? And what we realized working in countries like Haiti and Rwanda and, you know, some of the Southern African countries and South American countries was that a lot of people, and we'll use Haiti as an example, don't have a registered address. So we used our platform and we built a platform around our, you know, emergency messaging system to be able to allow the postal service to deliver packages to people who didn't have an address. Now, all of that comes back to the question of a good idea, right? All of these ideas were on the shelf. We had all these ideas on the shelf, postal services, political this, you know, all these different ideas. And really what I think it comes down to is being able to execute on the idea. And that, I believe, is where Siad and I have had a real beautiful kind of marriage, as it were, of skill sets, because Siad had a grand vision. His vision was to bring golf to a lot of different people and allow golf to become more of the, you know, kind of a household conversation for people, utilizing the game to commune around, you know, the tenets of the game and bring people together and not fracture the friend groups, right? Because we know that that happens in the golf world. And when I first heard about it, you know, my initial kind of responsibility and what I kind of saw as my responsibility to Siad and to Sire Golf was finding a way to actually build that system out and allow it to become a reality. So the idea of democratizing golf, right, and making golf available, not just to the people who can pay for it right now. We talked about that a little bit earlier where, you know, what's the difference between something that's happening right now and something that's going to happen in the future? You know, culturally, golf is growing, right? We see golf growing. We see people consuming golf in these, you know, high, densely populated urban areas. They're watching it on TikTok. They're watching it on Instagram. They're watching it on a PGA, you know, app or on television, and they're consuming it, but there's not a lot of access to the game for them. So this just, all of those things started to align. Siad and I oftentimes will say to each other, the universe is conspiring, because at every turn when we would flip a switch, right, all the lights in the room would come on, right? And then that just led us into the next room and into the next room. And it has really kind of shown itself to be not just a good idea, but an executable idea. So, you know, to kind of circle back for the whole question, coming out of my G-Post experience or utilizing that G-Post experience and running a large company that is in, you know, many, many nations, many, many countries, and having a clear understanding of, you know, what something is, right? Defining it, building your inventory around that, what that is, right? Creating a clear understanding of your assets and what you have available to actually then go out and start moving it forward is number one. Number two, making sure that the resources that you are going to need are, you're going to be able to ultimately align and line up as you need them, right? And that can be anything from money to, you know, human resources to, you know, tech resources, all types of different things. And then ultimately, I think, then it just comes down to the hard yards. I often say whenever we're working on any of these ideas, that the light will turn on and immediately we'll say, okay, well, we just got drugged to the starting line. Now the real work has to begin. And people, I think, oftentimes see starting an idea like this, creating something like this, as just hard work. Hard work is one of the components, but also making sure that you have a clear understanding of what resources, what assets you have, and how you can then leverage them as you move forward in your effort. I hope that answered your question.
It does. And then, you know, it's funny. I think sometimes when people are thinking of their idea and they hear the word execution, they can't quite visualize what that means from a step-to-step or step-by-step basis. And I want us to go a little bit deeper on, like, what does execution look like for a business model? It doesn't have to be yours specifically, but as you think about businesses and people that have ideas, because one thing I want to do is inspire others to bet on themselves, to bet on the ideas that have been placed in them that are unique to them, because, you know, we have this finite amount of time on earth and we have a purpose and we have to deliver these things, or we can choose to, or we can let them live in our heads only. But there's this moment where you want to bet on yourself and you really want to take that first step. As you think about the people that are listening, I mean, you know, I don't know what the ideas are. Like, maybe somebody is deciding to create the next tea that is biodegradable, that doesn't break and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But if you were talking to them right now as individuals in the midst, you're right now in the throes of building this business model out. And you're actually beyond that, because you're kind of like just waiting for the day for it to open, from what I understand. And if you're talking to these people, that may be a little bit earlier in their process. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts, LJ, in this process has always been a place of passion and love. For me, I've been around the game of golf for 20 plus years. So we've been kind of going at it gangbusters, and it almost seems like people always talk about, you know, an overnight success, but we always know that it's an iceberg and that there's always tons of years of the hard work, the hard yards, the sleepless nights, you know, the days when you don't believe in yourself and so on and so forth. But it is always looking for me. It's always been to always look for that next level of inspiration, whether it's internal or it can be external. I know there's a lot of always conversations about always looking internally, but sometimes you can find a light in the external, whether it be through a good friend, through a family member, through a book, or maybe it is some quiet time. So for me, for people that are in the earlier stages, making sure that it's a project that they are in love with, that is are in line with their morals and their principles, and their focus and their dreams going forward, because there's nothing worse than to force a dream. I've had projects that I've worked on that I felt was a good idea, but after a certain amount of, you know, months or years, you realize I don't want to do that anymore. And then there's that whole challenge of how do you let go of something that you've put so much energy into? And that's a whole nother conversation. But to keep that one short, it's okay to let it go, because I've done it before. I've worked on stuff for years and realized that was the wrong direction. You know, like you said, we do have a finite amount of time. But the good thing is, once you do find out what your purpose, your personal purpose and mission is, all that time makes sense. There were no wrong turns. There was no wrong. You know, I truly believe that we do have an internal GPS that is kind of linked to the higher cosmos, so to speak. As Tracy was saying, the universe is truly conspiring to help everyone. But you have to get in your car. You have to pick a destination, and you have to put the car in drive. You have to go. A lot of people sit in the car. They look around the car. They know everything about the car, but they don't go anywhere. And trust me, it's okay. You're driving. You make a left turn. You want to stop and go get coffee. That's fine. GPS will get you back on track. The point is to keep going and to have that goal in mind. So yes, it is cliched, but it's cliched for a reason. You know, pick a goal. Make sure it's something that you love and care about, and just to keep moving forward and keep finding that positive affirmation that keeps you going, and keep looking for the signs, you know, signs and synchronicities. I'm a big proponent and advocate for you know, signs in the world, you know, whether it's a billboard or just something on TV, like, I mean, you know, kind of reading in between the lines of life. There truly is a magic to life. And the more you listen and open yourself up to it, and the more you're in line with what you want to do, the louder it gets, and the more often it happens. And it really is like a beacon system. So that's kind of how I move about my day-to-day on projects that I care the most about, and specifically with Sire, the signs and synchronicities, the reason that it's been kind of been going so smoothly and so effortlessly for the last 8 months is because the last, you know, 10 years, I've been just trying to kind of just sharpen that system and just try and get all the noise out of the way so I can then focus on exactly what I want to do.
Awesome. So one of the things I thank you for sharing that. I feel like that was a message for me because I am seriously contemplating exiting a particular project in a different way. And I've been deliberating about it for the past like 2 weeks. And it's so funny to hear you say that. So you've received the message from anywhere and anyone unsuspectingly. So right now, thank you. I received that, taking it and going to apply it shortly. But one of the things I want to also ask, and this one is for Tracy, you know, you mentioned your advisory board member telling you about a pivot. And, you know, it makes me think of the Ray Kroc McDonald's business, where he's like, we're not in the business of selling burgers, we're in the business of real estate. But getting comfortable around shifting that. And those founders that, you know, if you watch the movie, The Founder, not shouting it out because they didn't pay me to do that, but just saying, you know, there's this original idea, this original name, but they were very committed to the one thing, which was this process and burgers. And this other gentleman comes in, steps in, and repivots the business. You know, you mentioned with G-Post really creating a project that was instrumental in transforming the way in which a community was able to function and like live. When we think about like Sire Golf, what are some of the other avenues that you're seeing that are more transformative? Because what I'm hearing is it's not just the venue about like drinking and getting some golf played or whatever, getting lessons or whatever. It sounds like there's a greater need being met here. So Tracy, that one is for you as you think about pivots.
Yeah. And I think what's great here is that I actually can ladder up from what Siad said a little bit. And so all of the things that Siad said, not only do I agree with, but, you know, kind of my job was always to take those things and then start to focus them in, right? So when he says things like, you know, having passion and vision, right? What the way I kind of move through this experience personally is by hearing, listening, and having a clear understanding of the North Star. Like, we've already determined where our North Star is, and we know what we want to do, right? And then the reasons that we want to do it are consistently kind of ebbing and flowing, right? In one conversation, we're having a conversation, you know, we're speaking with an investor, for example, and their main concern is making money. And then we may have another conversation with somebody in a nonprofit, you know, who's responsible for bringing golf to more people. And it's kind of our job to then, you know, make sure that we are applying our ultimate, you know, capabilities to not just fulfilling on what they need, but doing it in a way that really stands up for the Sire brand, right? So that's kind of my job. And what I will say to kind of add to what Siad said is being able to pivot and understanding that you may be taking a slight left turn from your direct business goals or your direct business plan. But if there are opportunities that are presenting themselves, you as a business and you as a business person want to be able to consistently understand that they are all pointed to the North Star, right? And if as long as you are keeping a firm handle on your brand identity, on your mission and your vision, right, and your manifesto, as long as you have a real clear understanding of what those things are and you can continually come back and, you know, and add those conversations into those buckets, we're fine. Siad and I just recently, and Siad knows when this happened, we were recently kind of getting into the weeds a little bit in our presentation to investors. We found ourselves kind of droning on about things, and we got very much in the weeds, and we had, you know, we had lost a little bit of the Messiah luster, right? And so we put a stop to all of it for like a good 48 hours. And we literally went to our favorite coffee shop, my favorite coffee shop, I think it may be Seattle's now. And we did what's called the napkin test, right? And all it was we started with clean napkins, just like we did when we started the conversation with Sire. And we literally re-engaged in our entire brand, mission, vision statements. We wrote them down on napkins. We had a whole stack of napkins that we had been writing on. And what we realized after that several hour experience was that we were still on the same journey, right? We just had a little, you know, some tattered sandals, and we hadn't really kind of freshened ourselves up a little bit. It was an amazing experience, right? So just to kind of come back, you know, making sure that you are not embedded in a process. Don't get embedded in the process. Get embedded in the vision and let the processes define where they're taking you. And if you realize that they're taking you in the wrong way and you have to stop and you have to kind of back out a little bit, that's okay, right? And then I'll add one more piece to this, and that is that, you know, love and dedication and passion, those are all things that drive the, you know, that drive the ultimate car, right? However, making sure that you keep gas in the car, making sure that you are filling yourselves with sustenance, making sure that you're consistently making good choices around not necessarily what you're doing for everybody else, but what you're doing for yourself. I think that's really important. And finally, you know, when it comes to the Sire, you know, kind of what we're doing and why we're doing it, right? Bringing golf to these high densely populated urban areas is kind of our, you know, that is kind of the pinnacle of our mission. But what that really means is making golf available to people who normally wouldn't have golf in their lives. Right now, we can go really deep down rabbit holes about what that means. But I know if you step foot in the middle of Brooklyn when we're opening our, you know, our first Sire Golf facility, there are a ton of people down there that have never swung a club, that have no idea what it means to live your life like a golfer, right? They know Tiger Woods is a person. They know that, you know, this is a thing. But then really what it comes down to is how now do we kind of learn the tenets of the game and apply those tenets of the game to ourselves and to our friend circle? And how do we go about life, living life that way, right? And Tiger is a perfect example. Hard work, dedication, right? Love for the sport, love for the game, you know, a relentless nature, right? Those are all things that are really important. But then there's also kind of a humbleness and a decency to him in many ways. And you find that in the game of golf. And coming from this last event that Seattle and I played, fortunately you were there. It was, I'll let you guys talk a little bit more about that. It just goes to show you that golf needs to be part of a much bigger conversation. So that's really what Sire is for me.
Okay. I love it. I think one of the things when we look at market opportunities and missed opportunities would be the missed opportunity on capitalizing of growing golf in the community when Tiger Woods was introduced to the game, or when he was became more of a household name. And so, you know, that was the first time you saw a lot of people curious and interested in trying to take lessons, but it wasn't necessarily a focus for the industry. And as we look at the second wave, which was driven by the pandemic and it being one of the only sports that was considered safe and able to operate throughout the pandemic, we look at another opportunity to help people in densely populated areas find their way to golf. So I love that. One of the things that you mentioned, and I want to circle back to, is the idea of bringing investors in, and also the idea of balancing different, you know, goals and objectives, and, you know, everyone has different expectations. How have you two managed to, I guess, balance those expectations and maintain your vision that you've just shared?
Good food and drinks. Okay. I mean, I can't stress this enough. Tracy and I are actually really good friends. I think a lot of it starts with that. And it starts with the ability to have a really good sense of humor. I think that sometimes that is underplayed in the seriousness of business and entrepreneurship, where you have to be on this grind, you have to be intense, you need to be up 24/7, you know, all those things of being that alpha entrepreneur, if you will. And I think that there's not enough emphasis on how to release, right? How to be the opposite, the counter of that. And a lot of why Tracy and I became fast friends is because we do share a lot of the same tenets of just how we see life on a day-to-day basis, right? You know, what do we value as far as, you know, other friendships, other people? How do we treat humanity? You know, one of the things that, you know, we both share, you know, I've worked in the service industry for 20 plus years. You know, how do you treat the waiter or waitress that's serving you, right? I mean, I have people in my life that I've distanced myself away because of the way they've treated people in the service industry. You know, things like that are a tell of who you want to be around. So if you're going to be in business with someone who, in a lot of ways, you're going to spend more time with them than you are with your, you know, other close friends and family, you need to make sure that they are in line with your beliefs and your North Star. And then from there, you guys can start working on stuff, because it's not about, you know, if you guys will disagree, it's more about when you disagree. And then how do you navigate around that to then get back on track and get back to the North Star, to the heart of the project. We've just been fortunate enough that it's very easy for us to kind of work around whatever challenges we have. There's a running joke that I always say that if him and I haven't talked to each other by, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, something's wrong. I talk to this guy every day for the last 8 or 9 months. And because there's always constant communication, we always know where we are. And we always know when someone, you know, their energy may not be that high. We check in on each other. And then the other thing is we talk about other things aside from business. You know, the first thing that we talk about isn't Sire. Sometimes it's the fifth thing we talk about. It's something that I've had to learn, you know, from Tracy. You know, I'm very goal oriented, can kind of be, you know, OCD, kind of black and white. And I'm like, what about this? And what about that? He's like, all right, yeah, but did you see such and such on TV today? Or did you, you know what I mean? Just to kind of break the tension and realize there's more to life than your goals, to be quite honest with you. There's more to life than whatever you're trying to achieve. You know, it's not only the goal, but it's also the road, you know, the process of getting there, and also to enjoy the process as much as the goal. Because once you get there, you know, then you got to find a new goal. So you might as well enjoy the process on the way. So the point is for me, just to kind of circle back, is to find ways to kind of, you know, how to let the steam out, because it's going to be a journey no matter which way you slice it, and to surround yourself with people that have similar sense of humors, to be quite honest.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I think for those that are listening, if you were to give them advice on, one, whether to bring in investors, and two, how to maintain that North Star from a process perspective, right? Because some things are not necessarily easy for other people, and they're trying to figure out how to take this product or service or thing to the next level. And being that you're doing it, you're actively doing this, what are some words of advice you can give to the listeners that may be contemplating, wow, I think I need to work with investors. I think I need more partners. I can't do this by myself. But I don't know where to start.
So kind of to unpack, you know, the investor, you know, like, should you or should you not work with investors, right? I think the first question you need to really ask yourself is, you know, what is your capitalization strategy, right? Like, what are you going to do to put enough money behind your project to not only launch it, but have a runway to run that project or that company for some period of time until you can become cash positive, or you can actually start to show revenue. And so for Sire, right, at least for this particular project, You know, we realized that Sire was a much bigger play than what we could finance ourselves. Right. So immediately we knew we were going to be in a conversation about bringing on investors. Now, what that looked like, we didn't know in the very early stages. But I will say this, we're in a very exceptional time right now in our markets and with investors and with the opportunities that are really kind of out there, because for us anyway, and I think this kind of goes, harkens back to your question a minute ago, that, you know, we're going to be a profit-driven company first. We're going to make money, right? That's very important. It's important to our investors. It's important to our brand, and it's important to our ability to expand, number one. But because we live in an environment right now where there's this ESG money, if nobody understands what that is, look it up. It basically stands for environmental, social, and governmental money. There's a lot of investment strategies now that increase the valuation of a company or a potential company based on what they bring to the community or what they bring to their social experience. So you may have a company that is worth, you know, whatever, $2 million, but if you can show that you're adding benefits to a community or to a certain slice of humanity, then you may be able to value that company for 2.5 or 2.75 million, right? And so investors will come to you with more money and with easier money because you have a purpose-driven platform within your company as well. And that's one of the things about Sire, that we are a profit-driven company with strong purpose. We have a very strong purpose. Now, talking about advice when you begin those conversations, I will tell you the very first thing you need to do is find a good law firm or good lawyer. Listen, I've been in business for a long time. I've started many businesses. I have failed at many businesses. I've succeeded at businesses, nonprofits, for-profits, all kinds of different businesses. And I will tell you that the one thing that makes a big difference is when you have somebody who can defend and stand up for your decisions legally as you move forward. You know, structuring your company, creating your investment strategies, building out all your documents that you're going to need, making sure that you're not putting yourself at risk or some kind of tax risk. Those are all the things that so that's a piece of advice, right? I'm not really an advice giver, but I'm going to say, make sure you have a good, strong business lawyer or law firm who can help make some of those things happen for you. The second thing that I will tell you is, that I will tell the listeners is, always measure, 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 cut, right? Study first. You know, become part of like investor groups, get to be, you know, a good researcher, have a clear understanding of why people are investing money and what type of platforms and what type of businesses, have a clear understanding of those things, right? Because what that'll do is it will help you with the language when you're speaking to investors. It will help you to understand how to get in touch with investors in a cogent way and how to then have those conversations with investors to be able to clearly and concisely you know, share your vision and share your message. You know, and I say that because that's something that I brought to the table with Siad. Siad knew what he needed. But when, you know, when I came on board, I was like, okay, if we're going to do this, it's not going to be, you know, a little joint, you know, 1,000 square foot joint in the middle of Manhattan. This is going to be a big, big organization. It's going to be a big place. We're going to need, you know, C-level people, and it's going to need to be this much broader stroke of a thing. And that's going to require resources. And, you know, Siad was able to really kind of consume that and take that in really easily and really quickly, and has kind of really come along for that journey. And then the second thing that I will say about, you know, starting any business, make sure that you have all of the basic understandings of what it is you're going to do, why you're going to do it. You don't need to know how to do it yet, right? That's what building the business is about. But you need to understand why you're doing it. What are your reasons? If your reasons are just to make money, great. Use that as your reason, but don't shy away from that, right? You got to be very firm on what your reasons are for being in business. So that's, I'm not a good advice giver, but that's about as much as I could go with.
So that was excellent advice, and being unapologetic in your why is the best advice that anyone can give. One question for Sia. So you're going out to Brooklyn. you know, Tracy has inspired you to dream bigger than 1,000 square feet. How did you get comfortable in even being able to visualize what that looked like compared to what you might have originally thought?
Well, I think it wasn't difficult. I mean, there's one thing I don't pat myself on the back enough, but one thing I will pat myself on the back of, I have no problem dreaming bigger. You know, the execution part is not always my strong suit. That's why Tracy is part of the team, but dreaming is not a problem. You know, again, my background is in podcasting. You know, my parents, they themselves were in the event creation business many years ago. They produced a reggae concert in Jamaica called Reggae Sunsplash. So I've seen large productions happen before, and I've seen magic happen behind the scenes when there wasn't no money, or there wasn't all the pieces, all the stars hadn't aligned until the last possible minute. So that kind of entrepreneurship, that kind of creativity, that kind of grand vision making has been part of my family and part of my DNA for a very long time. One of the ideas that I had very early on, even when I thought it was going to be 1,000 square foot, was it was still going to have a stage, right? So one of the challenges when I was doing my podcast and we would do live shows would be, you know, who would provide the backline, meaning who would provide the drum kit, because no band would want to bring their equipment. You know, they'd want to bring their guitars, their sticks, maybe an amp or two, and that was it, right? So that was always a challenge. So for me, when I started to ideate on Sire Golf, having a stage, I knew I wanted it to have a backline. And then once I started to kind of work from that idea alone out, I started having these visions, quite honestly, of seeing, you know, hundreds and hundreds, you know, of people in a space enjoying, again, live music, really good live music, not just someone walking around with an acoustic guitar, but real live music, loud, you know, again, a drink in their hand. And also, you know, people off to the side enjoying golf, you know, and consuming the game of golf, you know, casually and having a good time. So all these things just started to kind of spur around, you know, a vibe, quite honestly. I really wanted to create a vibe around golf where I feel has not been created yet. And going back to your point real quick, LJ, about how there's this new renaissance around golf that wasn't completely captured when Tiger came about. Now we can, because of technology. The technology has now caught up with people's behavioral and social patterns now. So now that, you know, there have been Top Golfs of the world and other indoor facilities and the technology there, it's not a gamification. It doesn't look like Nintendo Wii. It's PlayStation level graphics, and you can play real golf courses that are out in the real world. You know, people can now experience golf at a much higher level indoor. So I do feel that from a market standpoint, everything has aligned for that. And the fact that we are now coming out of a pandemic where people are looking for, you know, other experiences and to be outside, I think it's a great time for Sire Golf.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have a few more questions before we end, but the one big question I never asked either of you, how did you get into golf?
Tracy, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go. So my golf story is interesting. When I was a very young man, like early teens, I played with I was adopted when I was a kid. So my adopted father had a great affinity for golf. So I learned to play the game with him. Never took a lesson, was just out there hitting, you know, whatever I could hit, and played a lot of golf for maybe 4 or 5 years. And then he passed away, and it kind of left me in a lurch because I didn't really, you know, it wasn't my game when I started the game. It was his game. So I kind of stopped playing golf. I would still go to driving ranges and I would still hit. And then fortunately for me, when I met Siad, he was, and I'll use the term, relentless with me to get me back into the game. And, you know, funny enough for me, being able to go to an indoor facility and learn to hit the ball and kind of gain some confidence and have a clear understanding about, you know, what it is I was trying to accomplish when I went out onto a course, that was one of the big reasons that I now play golf. Now, I am not a golfer. I consider myself a duffer, but I love the game and have I have a great deal of confidence now when I walk out onto an actual golf course. And that also was one of the big kind of aligning points for me around Sire Golf. I was like, wait a second. If I had tried to learn this game the way everybody else used to learn it, which was having to go out, get on a tee box, maybe hit a few balls in a driving range before you did it, but then stand in front of at least three other people, maybe a whole set of people standing there on the first tee and try to hit a golf ball, I would have never been back in the game like I am now. So Sire Golf is just now an extension of my experience getting back into the game. And I'll tell you what, I own golf shirts. I own golf shoes. I'm getting ready to buy a set of golf clubs. I was like, what? So it's been an exceptional journey for me to be involved in the golf world again.
Okay. Thank you. And Siad, how did you get into it?
Really through work. I mean, I grew up, no one in my family plays golf. I think as a child, I'd found some very old clubs in my basement as a child, and it might have, you know, dug a few holes in the backyard and did some basic pitch and putts. But I was a photo editor of my high school newspaper, and we were putting the newspaper to bed one day, and the editor-in-chief, Peter Beardsley, was just talking about caddying and talking about all the money he was making. And I was like, do you think I could make some of that money? And he was like, yeah, you can. And I'll never forget, he brought me up, and we might have told a fib or two to the boss. I think we told him that, you know, I caddied for my father, which wasn't true. And he gave me a golf bag. He said, all right, just try and put this on. Of course, I put it on backwards, but it didn't matter, because at that time caddies were, you know, they were, to be quite honest, they were degenerates of society at that time. They weren't necessarily, you know, anyway. But yeah, I quickly fell in love with the game. Like I said earlier, there was a driving range up the hill from the golf course. And you know, a lot of us caddies, we'd have a bunch of money in our pocket, and we would just start gambling and betting each other on anything and everything. And once I hit my first golf ball, I was quickly addicted to the game. My neighbor at the time, Mr. Judice, old Italian neighbor, he was a sweetheart. He always had his hearing aid. He'd always check on me and see how I'm doing. He gave me my first set of golf clubs, which are a pair of Burke blades. So I learned on blades, which I think ultimately helped me hit shots better later on. I didn't even know that. So, you know, I've been a part of this game for a very long time. And I absolutely love it. I love it. It's one of the unique games that you can play until you're much, much older. And I love the process of being able to share the game with new people. I love the fact that I've been able to share the game with Tracy. And I love seeing that light kind of go off in people's in their mind and in their imagination once they do hit a golf ball correctly. I did work briefly at Brooks Brothers. They had a standalone sim in their men's department, and people would just come up from time to time and just try and hit a golf ball. And, you know, I was not a PGA professional. I wasn't necessarily a teacher. I was actually literally standing in for the actual PGA instructor. But people couldn't tell the difference, so I would just kind of go along with it. But the few people that I would actually help and teach them how to hit a golf ball, the way that they would kind of light up actually reciprocated back into me, and just, again, informed me on how much I enjoy showing people the game of golf.
I love it. And we see the Caddyshack framed photo behind you. So
that's right.
definitely appreciate that. So one other question about golf. What is your favorite golf memory or trip?
Favorite golf. I haven't gone on a lot of golf trips. One of the only ones I've been on is actually with Tracy. We went on to LA earlier this year, out in Pasadena, California. Blanking on the name of the course, Trace. Maybe you can help me out with that. But it was up in the hills, up in the mountains. It was beautiful. You know, we played really well. The weather was perfect. I mean, it was everything you would love about LA happened on that trip. It was a lot of fun. So it was the only time I ever shipped my clubs somewhere to actually play and actually use my clubs. So I would say that my one and only golf trip, actually.
I love it.
And I have to agree because it's the only time that I traveled somewhere to play golf. And it was at La Cañada Country Club, by the way, which is La Cañada Flint Ridge, which, you know, nice course, good time. It was the first time that I had played 18 holes of golf in about 25 years. So I had a great time. I was very fortunate to hit a set of clubs that just happened to fit me. And I think I hit the ball pretty well. And thanks to Seat, I learned a lot of great stuff on that trip. And the trip itself wasn't just for the golf. I mean, we were out there, you know, on sire business as well. So it was an overall great experience. You know, ate some good food, had a good time. Got to see my daughter who lives out there. That's, you know, hi, Rachel. Love you. Her and her husband. And it was a really remarkable, remarkable trip.
I love that. I love that. I mean, each trip that we remember, it's the first one that's probably the most remarkable and most memorable. And look, it's done for Sire. So, and you did it together. So that's even more beautiful. When I think about this business and the work that you're doing for the people that are listening, what should they be looking out for? And what kind of support are you looking for over the next few months?
So a couple really good questions. I mean, first of all, they should be looking out for the Sire brand to start kind of just permeating out into the world, right? We feel pretty confident that once we kind of get through our initial stages of, you know, getting into our building and getting the build out started, that we will start working on our kind of more consumer facing experience. So we're thinking maybe sometime around, you know, December, January, we'll have a real website up with real information. You know, we plan on probably starting to work on selling memberships and do, you know, some event planning and some stage event planning. You know, we're going to be bringing in musical events and whatnot. So as soon as we have the door open, we want to make that happen. And as far as support, look, we're looking for investors. We're going to be looking for, you know, people to come in and be a part of the Sire team. We're going to be looking for, you know, a great deal of press and, you know, we want people to really know about Sire and its mission. So, you know, as far as support, money, time, talent, that's what we need. That's what we need right now.
Yeah, some golf influencers, if there's anyone listening that's a golf influencer, we're going to be looking for people that are maybe in the process of becoming a PGA teaching pro that wants a place to actually give lessons, people that want to come by and bring events, so on and so forth. So yeah, anyone who is in and around the golf space, entertainment space, again, one of the key things about this space is you don't have to be a golfer to hang around with any of us. We want good people around us. So if you consider yourself a good human being, come hang out at Sire Golf.
I love that. Okay. I love that. Yes. Good human beings only. I love it. Any final thoughts for the audience?
Just thank you. I mean, this is just awesome. This has been quite a journey. You know, I couldn't imagine it kind of playing out. And that's the other thing about a lot of we talk about the how. You shouldn't focus on the how, because that's the magic. You know, you don't want to be able to predict exactly how it's going to happen, because I would not have predicted that I'd have been on, you know, on this podcast with one of my favorite people, Tracy, hanging out with LJ. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to the future. So just thank you. Thank you again for this opportunity.
I not only do I second everything that Siad said, the only one thing I will kind of add to it is live your dream, dream your life. You know, don't let things get in your way that are simply, you know, transactional experiences in your life. Make sure that you're moving past those. Listen to LJ. That's the other thing. And I want to thank you, LJ, so much for having me on personally. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Tease Me. And yes, it was a little bit longer for this episode, but we had twice as much wisdom because we had two guests. And sometimes you need more time to talk about more points. And so as you think about what the next step is for you, support Sire Golf. If you're a golf influencer, you know who you are. Reach out. If you're an investor and you want to be part of something big in Brooklyn, reach out. And if you're just on the journey, when the doors open, make sure that you are first in line. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Tease Me.